Richard Butler presents lifestyle, real estate, and investment opportunities in the booming South Pacific. Opportunities south of the equator. Learn about the unique and voted happiest country in the world. The tax-friendly nation of Vanuatu to the bustling southern business hub city down under, Sydney, Australia. From Fiji Islands to the mining states of the western Australasian township of Perth. From the tropical North Australian state, Queensland, its capital, Brisbane, called the Sunshine State of Australia, to the remote and beautiful Cook Islands nestled in the wondrous island chains of the Pacific Islands. Richard Butler, with over 35 years' experience in the real estate business as a developer of residential and resort properties with opportunities in export, from timber to wine from the world-famous vineyards down under, will educate and open your perspective on his part of the world in the South Pacific. Blue skies, azure blue waters, no pollution, fantastic weather. Richard Butler is also the preeminent authority on all things from Vanuatu, where he is appointed trade commissioner for the Republic of Vanuatu. Get ready for an hour of interesting interviews with people down under who can do remarkable things and updates weekly on what is happening in and around the magnificent world of the South Pacific.
Normally I start off by saying hellos and good days and stuff like that. I hope that you had a very merry, or if you prefer the term, happy Christmas. If you celebrate Kwanzaa, all the best to you. We're wrapping up the season of Hanukkah. But whatever the case may be, welcome to Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific on the Overseas Radio Network. And we're getting ready to wrap up something else, and that is calendar year 2014. And so on our program today, the auctions are over in Australia, and Richard Butler is going to join us in just a bit. Later on in the program, we're going to have Wayne Harrison as we talk about some very interesting immigration packages for Australia, and we also take a look at Vanuatu and how you can get some real bang for your buck. Normally, we have the real estate roundup. We are not going to do that again this week because of the fact that, well, the auctions aren't playing around. So what Richard and I will do when we come back is we're going to talk about how things went in 2014 and how we believe things will look in 2015. It's all going to happen right here with Richard and Wayne. David Gregerson is our producer. I'm Brian. And this is Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific on the Overseas Radio Network. Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific right here in the Overseas Radio Network. Normally during this segment, we talk about the real estate roundup, and it's been quite an interesting period in Australian real estate. And we're still going to talk about the real estate, but not necessarily the roundup because, as you know, the auctions have been off for a while. And as we get ready to talk about the closing of 2014 and the beginning of 2015, let's say good day, hello, welcome, sayonara. No, we're not going to say sayonara. But I'm sorry, Richard.
How are you?
How are you?
Yeah. You're saying goodbye before you're saying hello. I didn't know you were Irish, Brian.
No, I'm not, but I'm saying goodbye to Christmas. First of all, I hope you had a very Merry Christmas.
I've had a great Christmas, Brian. Absolutely wonderful. Always great to have members of your family come round and have a bit of a break, and of course, there's always that snooze on the couch after lunch. I love that.
To me, it wasn't so much of a snooze, but it was certainly a relaxing period. And I think one of the great gifts is certainly doing this program. And here we are the day before 2015, at least in Yorkville, a little bit longer in my time. And I can only think that one of the great gifts that has been presented to me is the fact that we've got 2015 and it's looking like it might be better than 2014.
Yeah, well, we're talking about watching the clock today with the New Year's Eve and the countdown, and we have our roundup down here of all the prices. Normally the auctions have stopped for the year. They've been absolutely wonderful. But, you've heard of the property time clock, Brian. A lot of people use it. They talk about an investment, whether if it's, it's 1 o'clock, basically it's 1 hour past the boom. If it's 6 o'clock, it's 6 hours to the boom. It's a rising market. And then you get to 9, or it's getting hot. Well, you know, the property clock down here in Australia, we've had a report that's come out. And, you know, as I said, the boom's 12 o'clock, the downswing's 3 o'clock, the bust is 6 o'clock, the upswing is 9 o'clock. And some interesting facts have come out. And, you know, talking about the different, we've been talking about Sydney, Brisbane, Melbourne, Adelaide. Well, I've only got the clock here on Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane, which are the major towns in Australia. But Sydney, surprisingly enough, is on 7 o'clock. Melbourne is on 6 o'clock. Brisbane's on 6 o'clock. That's in the commercial world. So basically, survey says that we've still got 5.5, 6 hours of upswing. In the residential cloth, it says that in Sydney we're on 9 o'clock, which means we've still got 3 hours of upswing. Melbourne, 8 o'clock. Brisbane, 7 o'clock. So isn't that interesting that we're talking about this boom and we've had this enormous increase? Is it going to last? Well, the sentiment, the survey, is that, you know, yes, it's going to last, and we've still got another 3 to 4 good years ahead of us in residential. In commercial, we've got another 6 to 7 hours in it. You know, let's call them years. It's amazing. Industrial, they reckon we're on about 8 o'clock. Retail, they reckon we're on about 6 or 7 o'clock. So we're just coming back. We think that we're in the middle of a boom. We're at the beginning of a boom, Brian, the beginning of a boom.
Well, I think that's very interesting. I listened to that number about retail, and knowing what happened during our holiday season, I can't speak for what goes on in Australia, but we find more and more people shopping online, so the brick and mortar store, the strip mall, you know, is almost becoming extinct around here. However, I like your clock, and I'm wondering if and when they'll develop a clock that will talk about the Adelaides, the Perths, and certain areas of the bush.
Well, they tend to follow. Remember the ripple effect. I'm always talking about the ripple effect. They tend to follow, and they tend to be where people jump to. So, if say for example the clock on Sydney was at 11 o'clock this coming year, just say it's at 11 o'clock, well that'll be the time to start looking at somewhere like Melbourne or somewhere like Brisbane, or similarly it could be somewhere like Adelaide or Perth. You know, one place we don't talk about very much is Darwin, which is, you know, we really should do a complete show on Darwin. I'll have to find someone up there. I've got a friend up there that's in real estate, and I should ring him up and ask him to come on the show and talk about Darwin. That is an unbelievable real estate market spot, and the closest.
Darwin on the north part there, where the crocodiles swim in the salt water.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, you love crocodiles, don't you? Now that's where the crocs are. And this friend of mine up there, if I can get him on the show, he's also a scuba diver. So he goes scuba diving where the crocodiles are. Now that's something I'm not going to do, Brian. No, and I know you wouldn't come with me if I did do it.
But serious, that's an area I believe in, and I don't know it, but my mind is telling me that's getting closer to the equator, so it's very warm there, very, very humid. Obviously, there's some ocean, but what kind of play? You say that there's a lot of growth going on there.
Well, one of the reasons that Darwin is booming at the moment is that we have the Americans, Obama, Americans have actually set up a base there because that's our closest town to Asia. So under our pact, our United States Australia Defence Pact, we have an American base there, and we have a lot of soldiers there. And of course, they bring in a lot of work because of supplies required, housing and entertainment. So it's absolutely booming in Darwin. It's an incredible place. And there's a fabulous guy up there I'd love to get on the show. You know, his family set up the pearl, originally diving for all the pearls, and they've become, you know, they really are the leader of industry or commerce up there in the pearl industry. And so it's very diverse, you know, from cattle. It's where our big cattle ranches are, and we're obviously exporting the cattle into Asia as well. We've got the army base. We've got the pearling, and of course we have the direct access into Asia. And one of our favourite holiday places for Australians is Bali, which isn't very far from there as well.
Oh,
so yeah, Darwin, you'd find very interesting, very, very interesting. And also, it was attacked during World War II by the Japanese. They actually bombed Darwin, and that's you know, it's got an amazing World War II history, and it's right up there. So one of the places we should be looking. Another place we should be doing more into is talking about Perth. And I do have a friend over there in real estate as well that I should ring in 2015. We've got a lot of stuff we can do for 2015. Our show is not long enough, Brian.
Well, you know, we could always switch to a two-hour program somewhere down the road. It's good to talk about the real estate prices, but I think what you need are more people, whether they be coming from the UK or from China or wherever around the world. And that's why we have Wayne Harrison coming onto the program next. He is definitely the migration expert, and certainly when it comes to Australia, a very superior one at that. This is House and Real Estate of the South Pacific on the Overseas Radio Network.
Sustainable timber investment from the Republic of Vanuatu. Once in a lifetime, an investment offer comes along that if you don't jump on board, you'll be saying, I could have. Yes, you could have bought Apple shares, you could have invested in Google, you could have bought gold 3 years ago, but did you? Well, listen closely. This is one of those light bulb moments in your life where you have to act today. 35 years ago, timber plantations were planted in the Republic of Vanuatu in the South Pacific, an island nation, and now they are ready for harvesting. Not just any timber, it was introduced as a sustainable timber called cordia, selling in the USA for up to $7,600 per cubic meter. 1 cubic meter is 432 board feet. Cordia is not native rainforest timber. It's from the plantation and used for flooring, decking, architraves, fit-outs for sailing boats, and for our wood turners. It's a wonderful wood, a hard wood, but very light. The builders love to work with it, and we all know how costly wood is these days. Sustainable Timber, A-classed licensed timber company in Vanuatu, has just released shares in the investment. Approved by the stringent Vanuatu Investment Promotion Authority, called VIPA for short, at $55,000 per share. There are only 20 on offer and projected returns on over 20% per annum. Plus, the investment will provide you with if you require residency in Vanuatu as an international investor, if you require to escape from this Western world madness and experience paradise as your new home address. It's not mandatory, but available with the investment. So again, Sustainable Timber, a Class A timber company in the Republic of Vanuatu, an investment opportunity at only $55,000, returns projected at over 20% per annum, and residency as well if you require it. The timber has grown, it's ready for harvest now, profits are months away, not years. Contact Richard Butler now for the offer to be emailed to you. Call Richard on country code 61417007792 or email him at richardbutlersales@gmail.com. Don't delay. There are only 20 shares offered. Call him, country code 61417007792. Or if you're in Australia local, call 0417007792. Call him now. It's a light bulb moment, listeners. Act today. And as Richard says, decision makers are profit makers.
Well, once again, you've heard the numbers from Richard and the real estate roundup. Now we're going to try to put things together based on this year as we wrap up 2014, and then next year, looking at 2015. We're joined today, I'm glad to welcome back Wayne Harrison, who is in Australia right now, And he's the expert when it comes to the migration numbers, not only for Australia, but we'll also take a look at Vanuatu. And a lot of what we're going to discuss deals with, you know, everywhere you turn, left to right, the Chinese. But what do you expect? There's over a billion. They've got to be somewhere. And they're coming out and they're showing their financial clout. Richard, glad that you brought Wayne back as we wrap up 2014. It's great to look at some of the numbers and see what a lot of the experts are predicting for next year.
Yeah, well, Brian, Wayne's Harrison has been a regular on the show now for pretty much over the last couple of years, and comes in and has given us some great information. And we really thank him for coming onto the show and providing this. He's hands-on. You know, this is the difference between, reading an article in the paper. Wayne is hands-on. I'm hands-on with regard to the business that I do. The people we bring on, like we had Diane Kennedy last week, she's hands-on as an international accountancy company. And, you know, you've got to have this link with people that are hands-on or boots on the ground, as they say. And Wayne is certainly that. Wayne, thanks for coming back onto the show. You're in Brisbane today. Tell us how the weather is up there in Brisbane today, Brisbane, Queensland, Australia. What's the weather like?
Hello. It's great this morning. It's going to be 35 today, and it's actually the first day of the cricket test between Australia and India here, so it's a big 4 or 5 days ahead. It's good.
Well, Wayne, you're going to be very impressed. I can tell you right now, Brian and our engineer David will not know what I'm talking about, but my neighbour next door to me down here is Nathan Lyon.
Well, there you go. What a test he had recently, yeah.
Yeah, he got seven wickets just the other day. That's one devil of a boost for his performance figures, and he looks like he's probably the new Shane Warne. I don't know if you saw one of his bowls that sort of bounced right back like Shane Warne's used to.
Hey, wait a minute. This is a family operation here. I mean, I don't know if we want to be talking about somebody's private parts here.
Well, I knew this was going to be above you, Brian, but we will make exceptions. We're talking about the game of cricket, which is extremely coming into the cricket season down here at the moment. And the Gabba is, well, the Gabba is one of the, it's a home of cricket in Queensland, isn't it, David? Why, I should say.
I think it's like here, obviously, your baseball and World Series in America. And I think the comparison between how Australia does in sport and how we do in financial matters can be very similar. 23 million people, small population for Australia, and yet we box above our weight in sport. And when it comes to how we go in business and trade agreements, that's another area that has kept us in good stead. So I think there's a lot of similarities between trade and sport. And you mentioned the free trade agreements. I'd happily bring you up to date with those as well.
Well, we've got free trade agreements now with like the Asian Tigers is what we have down here. That's, I don't know, Brian, if you knew that, but that's what down our part of the world, they're actually called the Asian Tigers. And that basically is like Singapore, Korea, China, of course, Malaysia, Thailand, Japan. These are the Asian Tigers down here, which were doing so well before the sort of crunch came along. But they still did pretty good, didn't they, Wayne? They still sort of continued on for China. I mean, it didn't have any problems at all. The rest of the Asian Tigers seem to have continued quite well through this GFC or Lehman Brothers crunch that we had. Do you see it that way too?
Yeah, when you look at the figures with the trade agreement between Australia and, our top five exports, Australia to China, iron ore, 52 billion, coal, 9 billion, gold, 8 billion, and the one that I like is the education-related travel services, 4 billion. You know, the Chinese students represent over 25% of all international students into Australia. That's one of our major exports worth collectively 15 billion to Australia. International students of 300,000 in Australia studying, learning, interacting, and then possibly staying on for further work opportunities and also in regards to possible citizenship and permanent residency. And when other countries such as Great Britain, for instance, are seen to be closing their shop to international students or making immigration harder, it's good to see that Australia's still got plenty of opportunities in their immigration program going forward.
Well, we've got such a big company. Brian always says, you know, you're just a big island with 24 million people spread around the edge of it. And, you know, this country can certainly take a lot more population, and we're just simply going to have it. That's the bottom line. For more than one reason, financial reasons, but also we've got our aging population, a problem that's happening, you know, throughout the world, the Western world, and we don't have enough workers to support the facilities and the support, the social support that is required for our older generation. So obviously we're going to have to bring more people into Australia. But, you know, what's your take on the last 12 months in Australian migration or world migration? Have you got any sort of one thing that stands out in your mind that you'd like to talk about?
Well, when the Immigration Department in the budget every year released the immigration plan for the following year, they've obviously readjusted their figures in regards to refugee, because that's been a political issue here, and yet Australia still takes its fair share of refugees. So that's just the change in the way the people can come in legally as opposed to the boat people, and they're sorting that out. But also in regards to education, that's been a massive part of Australia's immigration policy, and also there's still a number of skill shortages in regional and rural areas. As you said, you know, most of Australia's population live within 50 kilometres of the coastline, so in the middle, where there's the outback and the rural and regional areas, that's where we're still needing skilled migration.
Isn't the government going to bring in a new or part of the new migration is that you have to spend a certain amount of time, several years working in a rural area before you can get permanent residency or is it citizenship, one or the other? I'm not 100% sure on that requirement.
Well, a lot of the work-related employer-sponsored visas, such as the regional-sponsored visa, is exactly that. That's one of the government's main priorities. But also in regards to, you mentioned the Chinese, one of the most popular visas at the moment is the business innovation investment visas. So it is also geared to be each of the state and territory governments may work with high net worth individuals who have a business background and fit the model of the ideal investor, whereas Canada may have sort of reduce their investor visa options. Australia is still very much opening those and expanding it to any person of high net worth. But certainly the Chinese are the big take-up of those type of visas.
So this is going to put a lot of, obviously a lot of interest is going to come from, you know, from the Chinese and investing into things like cotton farms, for example, or cattle properties, plantations, timber plantations. There's enormous scope in Australia for these types of opportunities. And what are they very quickly require? Just how much money they need to do that? What's the minimum requirement?
Certainly from their designated investment, $1.5
million. Okay, 1.5. What do you think about that, Brian?
I think that's great, and I want to hear more about it when we come back on Lifestyles in Real Estate of the South Pacific on the Overseas Radio Network. Sitting around the fire, okay, so maybe there isn't a fire going, but certainly the microphones are hot between Wayne Harrison, Richard Butler, and myself. And I don't want to forget David Gregerson, our studio producer, who has been doing a yeoman's job making sure that everything is nice and tight here on the program today. But as I listened to this past segment with Richard and Wayne, my head was spinning, dollar sign spinning, question mark spinning, but more or less master plan spinning. And like I said, where the rubber meets the road, or the bottom line is the bottom line, opportunity is knocking in Australia, maybe more so than we see here in the United States. And whether or not the real estate prices seem astronomical to us, and they are, it doesn't mean that there's not a great opportunity. And when we look at the Australian dollar of 1.5 million, it may sound like a lot, but if you bundle up your funds and invest wisely, maybe you can do pretty good. In the United States, you couldn't get a radio station like that, but maybe you can in some place like Australia. Richard, why don't you take the ball?
Well, yeah, let's continue with this theme of investing into Australia under the new trade agreements and rules and regulations. Wayne's just been telling us or explaining us about the 1.5 million regional visa. And in America, that would come down to about 1.2 million USA dollars. And the UK dollars, the British pound, that would be somewhere between 400 to 500 thousand pound. And you could migrate to Australia and set up a business in a regional area. And it doesn't have to be an agricultural, does it, Wayne? It could be a newspaper. It could be a mechanical workshop or a Ford dealership. Do you know that we're getting Mustangs down here this year, Brian? For the first time ever, you'll be able to buy a Mustang in Australia. We can't wait.
You don't have Mustang horses already?
No, Mustang cars. Mustang cars.
Are you going to drive? Is the steering wheel going to be on the left side or the right side?
No, it's not on your side. It's on our side. So they're actually, yeah, they go on sale this week. And listen, Wayne, tell us about this concept about this 1.5 million.
Yes,
this sounds like we've found an opening.
It's one of the newer visas, and it's titled the Business Innovation and Investment Visa. And there's three streams to it. There's the business innovation stream, there's the investor stream, and the significant investor stream. So in regards to what can it do for people of any nationality, they can establish a new or develop an existing business. They can make designated investments with the Australian Territory or government, and they then can basically travel in and out of Australia for the life of the visa and bring family members with them, and then they can also seek permanent residency to go on to the next level visa. So it's points tested in regards to things like age, but as we mentioned before, the investor stream has a designated investment of 1.5 million. The significant investor is up to 5 million. But then, as you mentioned, there's all the business opportunities, which is what they're bringing to Australia, their skills, and that's where the extra employment comes into Australia.
When I was in Shanghai, I've got a friend out there. I think I've spoken about him on the show, Edmund Tang, and he used to work with me here in Australia going back into the beginnings of the 90s, selling real estate. Chinese, originally from Shanghai, came out, migrated here, then went back, became a property developer over there. And he's currently providing, he has an agreement with a regional country town where he is actually bringing people, investors in onto this scheme to invest in farming. And when I was up there, he said to me, that we've done over $20 million into this regional area already, and we've only just started. So this, not only for the Chinese, but for the Americans, here's an opportunity if you're looking for a new horizon to be able to access Australia. And, of course, Brian, the great thing is that they can access Australia through Wayne initially, and also they can contact me. And I cut my teeth cutting up rural farms into small acreages, so I know my way around the country area pretty well. We'd love to work with American investors, Chinese investors, UK investors in coming to Australia and working with Wayne and myself down here and to help them and also to help ourselves along the way. Wayne, what would it cost someone roughly to utilise your services for this visa?
Yeah, the Australian Department of Immigration and Border Protection, which handles the visas, and also the Migration Agents Registration Authority, they have a list of the schedule of fees that Australian registered migration agents can provide, and normally it's between $5,000 to $10,000 for some of the more involved visas. So around the $5,000 mark is the average schedule of fees. And in regards to this business investor stream visa, some of the criteria are they ideally need to be under 55 years of age. For two out of the four financial years previously, they have to have ownership interest in businesses overseas of $500,000. And that's really what they want to bring to Australia is their successful business career.
Their expertise. And that's what we wanted. That's what I've been saying for the last 2 years that I've had the trade commissionership with Vanuatu. We want your expertise. You know, we want your money too, but we really want your expertise, because the expertise is normally built up over decades. And, you know, I've been in my business, property development, since 1980, but I've been marketing since my early 20s. And, you know, I've forgotten half of what I used to know. But every now and again, it comes back, and that's how you overcome problems and you find solutions for things rather than being stopped by the difficulties that arise in running a business. And they do arise, but they seem to be the same difficulties, don't they? Complying with rules and regulations. We had Diane talking about that before, crossing the T's, dotting the I's. You know, I'm a broad stroke guy. I really have to have the support of good accountancy and good people around. We have those sorts of things available in Australia for people, don't we, Wayne? It's you know, we've got some great country accountants and lawyers there to help people, haven't we?
That's right. And it comes down to the migration agents. Every day we're looking at the Act and the regulations. We're looking at procedures, advice manuals. We're talking with colleagues. It's one of the most complex pieces of legislation is the Migration Act and regulations. So we have to know it back to front, ideally.
Well, we actually do have a brains trust, you know, involved with lifestyles and real estate in the South Pacific, with, you know, Brian bringing his life, his bag of tricks, his you know, his life experiences and understanding of small businesses to the radio show every week. My experience, all the people that we've had on this year, the real estate agents, we really do, and yourself, of course. I'm wishing to thank you again on air for your inputs over the last 12 months and over the last couple of years. And but I think now we're getting to the point, we're almost getting to the sharp end of the show, where we're starting to now say to people, hey, we can help you. If you want to put your hand up, we can offer you the opportunity of something in Australia or something in Vanuatu, no matter where they come from, Asia or from, you know, from the UK, Europe, America, Canada. We certainly have the facilities and the ability down here now to sort any requirement that you have with migration to the South Pacific and enjoy our lifestyles. What do you think of that, Brian?
Well, it is about bang for the buck, and if we can take that same $1.5 million Australian dollar or break it down to whatever particular currency that you need to and transfer over to Vanuatu, I'd love to hear what Wayne Harrison has to say about Vanuatu, and maybe you can save a little money and still get a great investment. This is Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific on the Overseas Radio Network.
Dreams and goals are so important, don't you agree? Most of us have a dream location to relocate to. 85% of tourists recently surveyed wanted to own their own waterfront bungalow. You see, it's an investment and could be an income-producing property for your retirement. Or, if you're ready to relocate now, a South Seas island sounds okay to me to just become a beachcomber with a laptop. If this resonates with you, then you have to call or email Richard Butler, the sponsor of this show. Ask Richard, a project manager for property developers in the Republic of Vanuatu, who have one-bedroom waterfront resort bungalows from $199,950. Yes, from $199,950. What value that is! But there is more. From only $399,000 for amazing three-bedroom, two-story holiday homes that you can use when you pre-book and will supply you with amazing passive income returns. Imagine waterfront bungalows that can return $200 to as much as $800 a day rental. Plus, Richard informs of the new Le Plateau residential estate with three-bedroom house and land from $255,000. Which the local banks state they will finance approved clients from 20 to 30% deposit. Email him at richardbutlersales@gmail.com or call him on country code 61-417-007-792.
That is opportunity knocking right here on Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific on the Overseas Radio Network. We have been talking to Wayne Harrison, who is a immigration migration expert. Richard Butler, of course, is right here. We've talked a lot about Australia, and that certainly is where Wayne has his superior knowledge. What we're going to do is we're going to be like the old Juicy Fruit gum and stretch the imagination, stretch the coffee break, stretch the dollar, if you know what I mean. And take a look at Vanuatu, because it's not that far from Brisbane. It lies on the ocean, but if Australia is a dollar bag, then Vanuatu has to be a gem. And Wayne, I hear what you're saying about $1.5 million, but sometimes you want to make it to where the goats can get at it. And what I mean is, instead of so high, let's bring it down a little bit lower. Let's look at maybe a $500,000. Maybe let's look at $55,000 and what you can get on a package in a place like Vanuatu.
Well, yeah, Wayne and I were talking in the break, and he wasn't aware, Brian, as you know, that we've just put this new package together in Vanuatu, which was actually brought on by Randy asking. What is he going to do when he comes to Vanuatu? And we went to the developers that we work as a project manager for, and we said, why can't we put all these in one bundle? So the 510,000 Australian, which I think is about 430,000 American, don't hold me to that, and about 280,000 pound, again, I'll have to double check my figures on that with the conversion ratio. But for 510,000 AUD, Australian dollars, the company, we can now provide from the developers a package which includes one three-bedroom brand-new house on a 1,000-square-meter residential block with town water and power, only 3 kilometres from the centre of Port Vila, which can also, because it's strata title, you can also subdivide the backyard up and put another 400 or 500-square-meter block and put a granny flat there or put another house there. It also includes a one-bedroom foray in the Pacific Haven development, which is freestanding and can bring back $150 to maybe as much as $200 a night in the rental market. It includes a one-acre farm in the Malakula farmlets for $13,950, which can bring back between $5,000 to $6,000 return a year once the papaya farm, pawpaw farm, once they're grown. And as much as maybe as high as 10,000 a year, but we discuss that separately. And then also it provides one full share in the timber harvesting company, Vanuatu Sustainable Timber, which would bring back about the shares were 55,000, but we the expectation of the return of the sale of the timber, which is called Bocote in the America, and is sells for as high as 7,000 cubic meter. Is around 20%. So what the developers did under my request is that they all decided to put a little bit of money in as an incentive to actually be able to pay for a 10-year permanent residency certificate for each one of the purchases, subject to police check, subject to availability financially to survive. And that means that for $510,000, you've also got permanent residency as part of the package, subject to approval from the Migration Department, of course, for 10 years. Now, that would have to be, Wayne, the cheapest and best policy for someone wishing to escape, migrate, relocate, retire in the world, wouldn't it? What do you think?
Very much so. Yeah, and the good part is when you get the opportunity to travel, you look at the lifestyle, and as I said, the northern hemisphere during the winter months, unless you're going to go skiing to me, it's too cold. So when you have the opportunity for South Pacific, for Vanuatu, and I've been to Vila a number of times, and it's such a destination on the international cruise ship market, and you mentioned the airports opening up as well. That sort of money and that lifestyle and that opportunity then down the track to get citizenship and what that passport can give you. And there's obviously the tax benefits as well of, you know, being a tax haven legitimately as a country like your Hong Kongs and your UAEs and that. That's got a lot of potential there as well.
Well, I'm going to have to get an accountant an actuarial to try and work out what the percentage return is. And, of course, I did mention when I was describing it as well that after 10 years you can automatically apply for full citizenship. And about a week ago or 2 weeks ago, we had 49 people had just applied for their full citizenship, and it was provided to them. And they'd been, you know, working, living, surviving and thriving in Vanuatu for the last 10 years. And this is the sort of thing that's available for people at such a low cost. Now, you know, we're part of the Escape Artists Worldwide family, and we've just opened up escapeartists.com/Vanuatu/. And if the listeners go there, they'll be able to look at the package and obviously be able to contact me, and we can provide more information to them. But several people I've spoken to, Wayne, at the moment, they said, well, why aren't you letting people know more about it? Well, our marketing of this package actually is to start in 2015, and we've been putting on extra staff members. And there's opportunities for people, if you're listening and you're involved in marketing real estate, hey, we'd love to hear from you. Don't hesitate to give us a call. Wayne, with involved with you know, the migration, where do you see the vast percentage of people coming into Australia from? Because Brian's always saying, is it the Chinese? But I don't think it is the Chinese as the major migrants into Australia. I think they're coming from other places as well, aren't they, in high numbers?
That's right. The UK always was one of the main destinations for Australia for the visas, both travelling, visitor, work, and then on to permanent resident citizenship. I think it was this year or last year, it was the first year whereby the actual number of people from China took over from the UK. And similarly, when over half of all international students come from China and India, they're the most likely to continue that visa onto residency and citizenship. So it certainly is India, China, UK, and yet still every day I get inquiries from Skype all over the world. People are so global nowadays to have access, and I think Vanuatu is still such a well-kept secret that people like you need to continue to sing its praises, because the opportunities look very profitable.
Yeah, and of course the South Pacific is an emerging nation, and Vanuatu, basically, we consider it to be the hub of the South Pacific, and possibly, you know, one of the best places to invest your money, because we have a Westminster system government there. We have English law courts. So, you know, if you're coming in from America or Canada or United Kingdom or Europe, you know, you certainly understand how the democracy of the country works in your favour, and that's what you're used to, you know. Well, look, it's been great to have you on the show, Wayne, and how do we actually get the listeners to contact you? What's your direct email that you can basically tell them at the present time?
Yeah, if they would like to email me direct, it's wayne@ausvisa.info. So wayne@ausvisa.info, that'll actually get to me direct. And then the website, australianimmigrationvisas.com.au, and that leads on to our Facebook, et cetera, Skype and all those things.
And just lastly, your mobile phone number, if you're dialing outside of Australia, you've got to put...
They can certainly text or phone me. I answer at all hours. It's +61 413 124 717.
Well, Wayne, thanks for coming on the show this week. Brian, you were going to say something. Sorry, I jumped in.
Thank you very much, Wayne, for being with us. For Wayne Harrison, Richard Butler, David Gregerson, Happy New Year. I'm Brian, and this is Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific on the Overseas Radio Network.